Welcome, my friends. It is Wednesday, March 7th, 2012. This is another edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Investigative reporter John Rappaport is going to be joining us after the first break to talk about a host of issues, including the big bioethicist organization publishing papers calling for killing newborn babies up to the age of three, saying the state is going to decide if you're a human being or not. They say killing even healthy babies is A-OK. That's coming up tonight with John Rappaport. Now, you know that Andrew Breitbart, who ran the alternative media empire, who brought down Acorn and so many other criminal operations of Obama, you know that he had basically sworn that he would bring down Obama completely with new information he was going to bring out March 1st. But he died in the early morning hours of March 1st. Now, I said that day, it's very suspicious that within 2 hours of him, just recapping, dying at the hospital after leaving a bar with a few drinks and then collapsing in his home, according to witnesses, that they would announce it was natural causes. The coroner's come out in the LA Times and said, 6 to 8 weeks, we're looking at foul play, we're looking at every base, covering all the bases of what he said, including foul play. Because this is obviously very suspicious, because he said that day, for weeks, he was going to release this bombshell info. Now, today there was some big breaking news on this front, on several areas. I interviewed Eric Mankell Mueller, and as the syndicated radio host was speaking, also Fox TV host, I was like, wow, how did I forget this? That he had called me 3 months ago and said, would you like to be on the biggest cable news channel? I'm not supposed to say which one, but it's pretty obvious. And would you like to do a show where you and Breitbart are my two people I talk to every day? Then I have other guests. And I said, yeah, they'll take Breitbart. He's already on there, but you know, not me. But I said, go ahead and try. Well, he's getting his show on there. He's done shows there before. And Breitbart was green-lighted, obviously not yours truly yet. And I told him I won't even take it, so don't even try. And I'd already talked about this 3 months ago, strangely enough, just left the Breitbart part out. So I'd forgotten about all this. And then Mankell's on my show telling me, and I went, wow, yeah, it was about 10 o'clock at night, talked to him. He said he was real good friends with Breitbart. He'd just been in Chicago. They'd met. He's interviewed him many times. But that's all a side issue. Sure, it's newsworthy that he was going to do a show with Mankell, just like he was saying they were going to do a show with Wiener on CNN, but Mankell knew nothing about that. Of course, Breitbart didn't even like CNN. You know, he's on Fox already. I mean, the other big top network. So all of this is going on, and I'm sitting here talking to him, and he goes further. He says, Breitbart said that he had information that would bring down the whole house of cards on Obama. And the video and the audio and the text is all in our article at InfoWars.com as this breaks, teleprompter free. And he said, I've got information that will bring him down. And Mankell went on to say he can't say everything, but that it was not Obama at Harvard mentioning a professor who was connected to extremists. I mean, Obama already hangs out with known communists and people that have been convicted of bombings. That's old news. Breitbart said to Mankell, forget it, Obama's gone. He's like, well, will it be Mitt Romney or Ron Paul or somebody? That doesn't matter. Obama's gone. This isn't somebody who would make light threats. He said, I'm going to expose and destroy Acorn. Happened. He said, I'm going to expose these energy contracts. Happened. He said, I'm going to expose all of this stuff. And now he was getting onto the birth certificate with Sheriff Arpaio and all of this forensic team, more than 20 people confirming. And I watched the press conference. Those guys weren't acting. They were like, this is totally fake at every level. No kidding. Day one last year, we broke the news and showed it in layers, but that also was made to look like a typewriter. Typewriters are like fingerprints or snowflakes. Every time they strike, there's a different splat at a microscopic level. How that ink slaps on leaves a fingerprint. We blew up all the letters and compared them to the same letters later in the thing. It was identical fake splats. It was a word processor system that is a copy of a typewriter font. Because all the computer does is take a snapshot of an original typewriter shot and add that in to the alphabet. And then it's like typesetting. It lays it in. It's exactly the same. But it's done with a computer, so there's not the slapping of the ink like a typewriter. So it was the same. It's the same. It's fake. It's fake. I don't need the CSI people over there with Sheriff Arpaio. I mean, I'm glad they did it, but the point is, this was all coming out, and he's dead. He's dead. Now, here's the other big breaking news. I'm not trying to bash the folks at Breitbart. They've done overall some good work compared to most right-wing stuff. It's definitely anti-establishment. I mean, it's like Alex Jones light in many ways. And I don't agree with the wars and all the stuff they support. But the point is, overall, they were making the system mad. Mainline Republicans don't try to wreck big government operations on the left because a lot of times they're making money out of it as well. So they made a lot of people mad. That said, we've got timestamps of this we can show you. Everybody's waiting for Sean Hannity tonight. Why, they're going to premiere the footage of Obama at Harvard mentioning a professor he likes connected to communists, as if that's a secret. And that's all Obama's around. Well, there's a little problem. The Breitbart site released the footage already that they're going to premiere on TV tonight and said, this is it, you know, but more to come. Well, Aaron Dykes discovered and Paul Watson discovered very, very quickly that this is from at least 4 years ago when he was first running for office on PBS, Frontline. So we have the footage of both in our articles at Infowars.com, written by Paul Watson and Aaron Dykes, showing the new footage Breitbart site has put out. Not Breitbart, he's dead, but the people using that name. And next to the four-year-old footage that's unedited. They're putting out some edited stuff. We have the unedited stuff. So it's all in the article. In fact, if you take me to the front page of Infowars.com, please, you can see that, again, October 27th, 2008, not the video Breitbart died for, leaked Obama vid already aired on PBS in 2008. And if you go there, you go to the Breitbart site, they've got the old footage just re-edited, and then below that, we have the PBS video. So this is what I was concerned about. This is what I talked about from the very, very start. This is what I've always been concerned about. And again, you see that? It's the exact same footage Breitbart's got. Go compare it for yourself. Is that Breitbart would die. He was supposed to release the footage that day, and that they would then put out some whitewash or something that was just part of the overall package and claim this is it. The fact that it wasn't released that day, the fact that it was released over a week later and was something that already had been released, that's not Breitbart's style. He isn't somebody who made big claims and then didn't deliver. The reason he's dead, and I smell foul play all over this, folks, is because he did deliver. He did rock boats. He did stomp on the frozen mainstream media tundra, and the system doesn't like that. And you better believe we're in the same boat. There's big national news we're breaking right now as well. And I'll get to that later. And people are like, wow, Alex, you're getting bigger and bigger. And I'm like, yeah, I'm flying towards my destruction. People, you have to understand, this isn't about ego or about an alternative media person showing the world, you know, that we can dominate. It's about defending our republic and saving our society and defeating Agenda 21 and getting our family rights back, our private property, our Second Amendment. We're fighting really hardcore authoritarians. And I do take all this personally. So I'm committed to this so much. I care about beating tyranny so much. I don't even worry about what happens to me. And that's the only way to roll. It's not because I'm some hero. It's because I'm not going to be a slave or a coward. So here are the articles in closing with this breaking news. Mancal Mueller, Breitbart was murdered. Chicago radio host says Breitbart death was warning shot and that others are in danger. He's been to the funeral, the thing. Everybody thinks he was murdered. And he told me all the behind-the-scenes stuff that he told me 3 months ago. And I'm like, I forgot all this. I was being offered a TV show with Breitbart. And not on the network that the media claimed he was going to with Derwiener. Okay, continuing here. Speaking of national news story, this story was up on Drudge today. Dozens and dozens of big papers, by this afternoon it was hundreds, had picked up what we reported on this morning and last night. A blogger, an engineer, we interviewed him today, John Corbett, had gone through the scanners and shown it with pieces of metal that could be bombs or weapons, showing the scanners are a giant fraud. It's all about making money for Chertoff, who ordered him as Homeland Security head, and microwaving us and just having this big power grab. The video goes up of him just sitting there talking about this and showing footage he shot. No breasts, no genitals, G-rated. And they knocked his video down. They blocked it. And they're blocking subsequent copies. But we were able to keep posting copies that others are posting as it goes up. As they try to knock the others down, we're able to keep posting them. So Drudge linked to us to say, here's the article about the censorship and here's the video. But YouTube restricts video of engineer proving how useless TSA scanners are. Man walked through radiation firing machines with metal objects knowing he would be stopped, knowing he would not be stopped. So there is that report. And they're now censoring it, but that only caused it to blow up in their face because they tried to censor it. And you can find the video at Infowars.com. Okay, we interviewed the DPS, as you know, the Texas State Police last week. And I've seen all these articles about local police, the state police with tanks, drones, predators under military control, checkpoints. And we go up and talk to them as they're launching these gunboats with high-powered machine guns to patrol our lakes and rivers. And they look at us and say, we don't have any plans right now for military joint operations, and we don't have any plans for drones. We've got a bunch of articles here on drones. And we also then had the Texas Guard and the Federal Guard, the National Guard, out at the Kite Festival this weekend in Austin. So Chief Art Aceveda, 3 months ago in studio here, said the sky would have to fall, literally, for there to be troops on the street. Well, did the sky fall, pal? Because we got troops on the street here, and the drones are here. So we have a short video clip from the overall Darren McBreen report where they say, no, we don't know anything about drones and connection to police, period. State police or otherwise, the state of Texas. Here it is.
I know they plan on buying a lot of these unmanned drones.
DPS is not that I'm aware of.
The state of Texas is not?
No, we're not.
Because there's like Border Patrol with the drones and all that.
Federal.
Well, but they're working with federal agencies. That's what I mean. So it would be like Homeland Security, for example, is federal, yet they provided a lot of the funding for these boats that are here in the state.
Sure.
So that's why I was wondering if there's any, federal cooperation with these unmanned drones as well for Border Patrol and fighting this out of control drug war.
I don't know. We don't have drones.
Yeah.
Now, whose drones we have access to, I'm not even sure.
So there you go. Meanwhile, Texas cops hit obstacles in their own truck testing UAVs, drones coming anyway. And this is being broken down by local news, IT World, and others. 33,000 of them, many of them weaponized. Government takes our money, ships in the drugs, arrests anybody that doesn't launder the money with them, and then crashes drones into things, and then lectures us all day about how wonderful they are and how they're keeping us all safe. Again, drone crashes into SWAT team tank during police tests near Houston. But he didn't know anything about drones or anything. Continuing, this is some bad news out of Minnesota. Governor vetoes a Cornish proposal. You heard a federal court said you can't keep people from having guns on campus, on colleges, especially in their dorms. You have a right to defend yourself. A criminal that's going to come shoot people isn't going to follow the law. They're going to come shoot people. It is very, 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 very simple. Now, expanding on that, this law would say we're going to stop arresting people that shoot people on their own property. Minnesota is so un-American, good people up there, but run by commies and globalist thugs, that they were trying to pass a law saying in your home, in your car, you're carjacked, in your mobile home, you can have a firearm and defend yourself if attacked. And the police are here saying, no, we don't want that, because you want the monopoly of force. You want us to have to call you to come protect us. I mean, this is really simple. Goes back to Rome over 2,000 years. You think the mafia just the last 100 years would come around for protection money, insurance they would call it? Pay me protection or somebody's going to burn down your grocery store? Pay me or somebody's going to burn down the store. Not me, not my cousin, but somebody. But if you pay me, I can protect it. Hire my cousin. He won't be here, but you pay him a check. You pay him the money. In Rome, over 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar's family actually made money off this. the fire department would come around and demand tribute. And if you didn't pay them, when there was a real fire, they'd come fight it. But if you didn't pay them, they'd come burn your business or your block down. And Rome had all these ethnic minority groups in it. They had the Goths, the folks from Germania in, you know, one area, the Spanish in another, the Jews in another, Persians in another. I mean, Rome was super multi-ethnic. So, but everybody was in their neighborhood, just like, I guess, New York today. And so they'd come in and say, you know, the Roman run thing would say, pay us all this exorbitant money, there's going to be a fire. And if you didn't pay, they burned you down. That's why Nero fiddled while parts of Rome burned, because people weren't paying him. He sat out there and fiddled. He was happy. You're going to learn to pay me protection money. And that's all this is. You call a cop when somebody's busting down your door. That's why I see articles every few days where some woman is in her house, calls 911, he's coming in with a gun and a knife. And 911's like, do not fire. Wait for police. Do not fire. And they go, he's coming with a knife. Oh, he's down. And they shoot him. And the police are like, how dare you do that? How dare you? Well, not the police themselves, but the bosses do. It's like, no, you only do that with us. You only call us to protect you. Now, I don't like getting into this subject because it really upsets me and lets me know how evil the people are we're fighting are. I mean, it just blows me away. But New York Post, you name it, they're all reporting. New York prostitution ring provided minors for wealthy elitists, clients including bankers, politicians, and lawyers. So for 5 years, the Internal Affairs / Anti-Corruption Bureau was trying to stop them running kids. There were some decent cops who were like, well, letting prostitution go on is one thing, but kids, no. Look at that alleged piece of crap. Anyway, she is on record. She is on record. Put her back on screen if you can. In these tapes they have going, I own the police, I own the judges and the top politicians. Well, you bet. I mean, whenever a governor or somebody gets out of line, they release who their hookers are. Well, this is underage. This is young people. This is children. This is minors. And she was bragging, but we'll see what comes of this. We'll see if she ends up dying like a D.C. madam who was just, you know, involved in regular prostitution, which I think should be decriminalized. I don't think it's moral or good. It's degrading, but making it illegal just makes it underground and lets the government control it behind the scenes through black market and really lets women be abused by their government police pimps in most cases. That's who most of the whore handlers are. Here in Austin, living here now for 20 years, I've seen 5 or 6 times they bust police commanders running most of the whores. But side issue, you make it underground, you let the corrupt control it. That's the way it works. But the kid thing, when they're convicted, I want these people executed. Executed. I want child abusers, child pervs to know that you do stuff like this. You go after little kids, you are dead. But let's go through some of those articles for people. Hot mama in kink link to rich DA. And it goes through here. It's just buried, the whole underage angle. But there's one of the articles. Pedophile warned he would attack again. Outrage after trial hears of how man begged to be locked away for life, was given his freedom within 3 years. Well, because the system takes care of their own. Woman, judge ran sex ring that killed boy, age 5, London Telegraph. And we just go over year after year of these. Tolise officials ordered murder, says serial killer. There's all these cases of them delivering the kids to the elites. Overwhelming evidence points to murder of D.C. madam. And she told me, you know, that she was being threatened, but that she would never commit suicide. FBI to reopen case against sex offender friend of Prince Andrew. Duke may be forced to claim diplomatic immunity to avoid questioning. How does a duke in their country declare diplomatic immunity? That's just royal immunity. They call it diplomatic immunity. The globalists say, I'm immune. And we go, oh, you are. They had cases in Sweden and other places where they did this, where they found the little kids in cages, government kidnapped. They're like, diplomatic immunity. How about immunity to scum? Oh, but I know that's radical. It's radical. So we've got that report. Here's another report on it. There we go. Just more and more and more and more articles. Homosexual prostitution inquiry snares VPs with Reagan Bush. Callboys took midnight tours of the White House. This was back in 1989. Then it happened again with Bush Jr. kissing men on the head at press conferences who, it turned out, were male madams and porn stars. I mean, they kiss in public, and I'm an extremist to cover it. And my point is, What they do with consenting adults is their issue. But the fact is they're being blackmailed with all this. That's the issue. You understand that? Stay away from people's children. I tell you, the Texas Youth Commission, state allows this stuff to go on with the kids that are grabbed. And you know what? It's time for justice to be served against these people. These are a bunch of globalist scum, enemies of every free human out there. All right, racing through the news ahead of the John Rappaport interview. Study: BT toxin in GM crops kills non-target species. And it goes on to break down the fact that they engineer these plants to grow their own pesticide, and guess what? It's killing birds and bees and other insects and other life that aren't the main target of the toxin in it. No kidding. Like us who are then eating the corn, eating the soybeans oil, eating the soybean protein, eating the cottonseed oil. I mean, it is just incredible. What is going on here? Shifting gears, Iran trying to build nuclear missiles capable of hitting London, Cameron warns members of parliament. Remember, we heard that in 2003. Tony Blair said they're going to launch nukes. They're going to launch nukes at England in 45 minutes. We've got to attack. And, of course, there were not nukes in the country. All right. That is Iraq. Now for the quote of the day. Martin Luther King: I become convinced that non-cooperation with evil is a much more moral obligation as is cooperation with good. Again, I become convinced that non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. Martin Luther King. Absolutely. It's very simple. Evil men and tyrants when good men and women do nothing. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington both gave similar quotes. All right, great job of the crew in the news segment. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with John Rappaport, who is just an amazing investigative journalist on a host of issues, including the group that advises the government saying the state has a right to kill children up to age 3, even if they're perfectly healthy. See, first we were like, don't kill the mentally handicapped kids because, you know, next it'll be everybody. And it's wrong to kill them too. You know, look at Stephen Hawking or any of these people or Helen Keller. And they're like, oh, we'd never do that. And it's like, we'll just kill everybody. And they're like, oh, well, I'll accept killing retarded children then. You know, they're like, don't call them retarded. That's politically correct. Just kill them. Don't call them retarded. See, in this politically correct world, it's like, don't call them a name. Just kill them. Call them mentally handicapped, but kill them. Alex, big controversy. You just called them retarded. You're trying to save their lives. Don't call them a name. Just kill them. See how the mind games work? It's InfoWars Nightly News. You're watching this out there in cyberspace. Millions a week do. Watching us there in England. We're on the main cable channel. You want to watch the show, not just a compilation of it? Become a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber. Pay it forward. Help us hire more reporters, more crew, better equipment. Become a subscriber, 15 cents a day, or do a 15-day free trial right now at PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. We'll see you after the break.
One is a serial hypocrite who lobbied for Freddie Mac before the housing crisis and for the individual mandate before Obamacare. Another, a counterfeit conservative who opposes right to work, massively increased spending, and funded Planned Parenthood. Finally, a flip-flopper who's been on all sides, supported TARP bailouts, and provided the blueprint for Obamacare. Three men, one vision. More big government, more mandates, less freedom. One man stands apart, ready to deliver real change, voting against every tax increase and every unbalanced budget every time. A real plan to cut $1 trillion year one and to balance the budget in three. Pro-life, pro-liberty, guided by faith and principle. Ron Paul, the one who will restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
And it's time to get out of the comfort zone because these people aren't playing games. come together. We are swinging muskets here, toe-to-toe with the globalists. They're bloodied. We're bloodied. It is absolute total war. Welcome back to this Wednesday, March 7th, 2012 edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We're about to be speaking with investigative journalist par excellence, John Rappaport, and trying to even go over his bio is amazing, from national television, Nightline, writing some of the biggest publications in the country, CBS Health Watch. He's just an amazing political mind. And he's also, for now about two decades, been boldly really breaking with the system and exposing the New World Order. In fact, I remember when I first woke up in 95 or so, I remember seeing some of the videos and interviews that he was doing. So, you know, he's somebody that kind of broke with the whole establishment, even though he was successful to expose the New World Order. A great guy. I've got a host of issues I want to cover with him. Now, when I was at his blog today, I got reminded of something that we've been covering. It's another example of the power of the alternative media taking on the dinosaur media, because he was covering the ethics of killing babies, that the eugenicists for a long time have wanted to promote not just abortion of the unborn, but actually killing babies up to age 3, and then after that, even older, because it's the death panels. They're saying, you don't have a life worth living. We're going to decide you're old, you're blind, you're a baby, even without health problems, we're going to kill you. And these are in prestigious journals of bioethics. We don't have Hippocratic Oath now. It's the bioethicists. They decide. But I just wanted to toot our horn. Another example of this. Here's Paul Watson's article, the first on this that I saw when this journal had just come out. Listeners alerted us. It's that chain reaction. Ethicists argue killing newborn babies should be allowed. Shocking reminder that ethicist beliefs underpin medical establishment. Paul Joseph Watson, February 28th. The day after that, right here, London Telegraph. And then after that, hundreds of mainstream publications picked it up, and a big debate happened. And we're seeing that happen more and more. Killing babies, no different from abortion experts say. They should be allowed to kill newborn babies because they're morally irrelevant up to age 3. So again, the power of the alternative media setting the agenda. Just last week, listeners started calling the guy, sending him emails saying, you know, InfoWars, Alex Jones is attacked in the Strat for emails. And I'm like, yeah, right. I didn't believe YouTube comments. And then the guys were sent the email. Sure enough, it's there. We write an article about it. It's in over 205 newspapers today on Google News. That, you know, the whole Bin Laden and the ocean thing. And they said, you know, we've got to release the photos to disprove kooks like Alex Jones and Glenn Beck. Again, we start covering it. It gets picked up. And I remember John Rappaport talking about that more than a decade ago. As we came towards this point, as people awakened, what would the establishment do? And we're now there. So I want to talk with John today about the awakening that he predicted and, you know, what woke him up, and then tie it in to what's happening with the awakening to health freedom, but the system striking back. John, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Hey, great to be here, Alex.
There's a lot going on, but the basic awakening, what can you say about that?
Well, as you say, 10 years ago, I started seeing this, you know, flood starting, where people were beginning to ignore major media, publishing articles, doing research on subjects that I had been interested in for 10 years before that, and I was just floored. And then the trigger effect, it appears here, it appears there, it appears here, and pretty soon, in a sense, we've got major media boxed in, because here's the story, ethics of killing babies. In fact, you know, I think I read it first on InfoWars, now that I think of it. And then I went to the study itself. I read that and published a piece. We've got them boxed in more and more because they don't know how to get out of where they are. You know, they really don't have any idea. I mean, they are conspirators in a sense, of course, but they're also business people who are completely trapped in their old model, and they absolutely have no idea how to get out. And I see that more and more as people are waking up and realizing, you know, I read better stories on websites than I do in the New York Times. They're more truthful. They're more in depth. They cover more subjects that I'm interested in. And then if you went to the New York Times and you said, hey, listen, I got a way to save your newspaper. I can save this thing. I know you guys are horrendously in debt. I mean, you know, you're refinancing your own debt. So in the next 10 years, you're on the way out, but I can save your newspaper. Here's what you do. I'm going to give you three stories that'll blow this country wide open that nobody's covering. All you have to do is cover it and pound on it day after day after day after day, like, you know, the Post did with Watergate way back there. And you just keep on. People come out of the woodwork. They'll confess all kinds of crimes to you, and you'll be able to sell morning editions, evening editions. You put some of it online, some of it in print, and you're going to be selling so many newspapers that your advertising revenues are going to triple. And they would turn you down flat because they're part of the lying machine. That's where they live.
That's right. They're only a subsidiary of the big defense companies and the private banks. So if it's a loss, so what? And again, you did predict this acceleration. You wrote a lot about it. And now, what do you see the system doing? I mean, I see them coming in and trying to censor everybody now.
Yeah, I see them trying to do that. I don't think they're going to be successful at all. I think the technology's gone too far. You know, you got peer-to-peer networks. You've got other ways of getting information out that are going to stymie them. They can try. I mean, they're going to try, I'm sure. You know, they want gatekeepers and servers that are going to censor information and so forth. But I think the genie's out of the bottle.
Just to toot your horn again, I just said 10 years as a vagary. It was like 15, 16 years ago that I saw your writing online, the TV shows you were doing that were leaking out. What made you go from PBS shows and CBS and The Village Voice and, I mean, just hundreds of things, Spin Magazine, LA Weekly? What made you early on start ejecting from the establishment media? I mean, I know you're an accomplished artist and, you know, have a lot of other careers as well, but I see some of it there in the background. That black and white's yours, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
What made you start? I mean, you're one of the first to really start the exodus. Why?
Because I started trying to put things together. You know, you operate the same way. You cover 16 different stories and you say, well, look, I mean, there's connections here. So I was covering medical scandals, political scandals, corruption at all levels, and government and medical areas, education, what have you. And so, you know, I started talking to editors about this. You know, just conversation. I said, don't you think that people are behind this kind of thing? I mean, do you think it's all accidental that all this is happening at the same time? Don't you think there are people who want to control society? And man, they ran screaming into the night. You know, all I had to do was just even bring it up, and they ran screaming into the night. They didn't want to have anything to do with me or those questions. They said, look, we got assignments for you. You want to fulfill the assignments? That's great, but we don't want to talk about this at all. It's just out of our league. It's all speculative, whatever. And I said, well, it might be, but I want to get in there and do some research on it. And I began, of course, reading books and so on that offered answers. And I found that at every turn, when I pitched stories that had to do with the basic question, who's running the show? You know, who is it? Is it Rockefeller? Is it Bilderberger? Is it the Council on
Foreign
Relations?
That's what good old-fashioned muckrakers always did.
Yeah. That was my idea. Well, this is in the great tradition of muckraking. I would run into people, editors, who would say, we don't want any part of that. Forget it. We don't want to publish anything about it. We're not interested in it. It's not real news. You're going crazy. If you keep on in this way, you won't get work and so on. So I just decided, okay, that's it. Forget it. I'm just going to quit, go off on my own, and continue to do my research, because that was the thing that fascinated me about the whole business to begin with, to get in there and find answers to questions that you really have. That's why I got in there.
Not fun and not passionate, I have to tell my crew, and a lot of them are folks I just hired out of TV and print who were just, you know, journalists or reporters or researchers, and now I have to make them go home. And I'm the same way, because it's so addicting to want to know the truth. And throughout history, we've known there's been elites And this establishment line of saying you're crazy, when everything we've talked about, global governance, all of it, it's all happening, and they're still using the same line, you're crazy, that isn't working with the public anymore. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you're right. It's not working, you know. They say nothing's happening, nothing to look at, just move along. And we're saying, well, gee, look at what's going on in Europe here, European Union. I wrote a piece, I don't know, it seemed like a year ago now, where I actually began to describe the layers of bureaucracy involved in these countries with the European Union. I mean, if you or I were put into that maze, we would just collapse and give up. I mean, forget about, I mean, the level of control is obnoxious to be sure, but the labyrinth of the bureaucracy itself would drive any sane person completely insane, just trying to figure out what they're doing, how many departments, how many tens of thousands of regulations they passed since they've come into power. And then you just multiply that framework around the rest of the world, and you say, yeah, this is what they're trying to do. Any idiot can see this. They're trying to create super governments over the present governments and tie them together in what is a de facto global management system. That's what they're trying to do. And it's obvious to, you know, millions, if not billions of people, except if you go to the New York Times and you try to talk to them about it. As you say, they repeat the same old tired line. Oh, that's just ridiculous. You're crazy. You're one of these conspiracy nuts, and we don't want to have anything to do with you, and so on. And then they print the same old stories, and they go down the toilet. Nobody's reading it anymore. Nobody's interested in it anymore. They're just committing suicide.
Yeah, they're the ones that are delusional. We have open world government being announced by the international banks, off derivatives, exactly as I said 15, 16 years ago, exactly as you did, Ron Paul, the list, David Icke, the list goes on and on, G. Edward Griffin. And we're spot on because the globalists actually write white papers, as you know, but for the audience out there that may be watching the first time, admitting all this. I mean, it's really, isn't it really an open conspiracy? That's what makes it such a joke. I mean, even as they're admitting global corporate government right now, taking over Europe and other parts of the world, simultaneously, ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, Media Matters, George Soros are churning out articles saying we're crazy to talk about it. When it's in The Economist magazine and the Financial Times of London, world government's good and the solution, but then we're crazy it doesn't exist, John. I mean, it's now reached an absurdist cuckoo level. How do you see this coming down?
Yeah, it has reached that level. You know what? They're trying to say, yes, this is what we're creating, and it's good. You see? I mean, that's essentially what they're saying. It's a good thing that we're doing. So if you're going to talk about what we're doing and say it's bad, then we're going to deny that we're even doing it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's completely insane. They're completely insane, but that's kind of the attitude that they take. Well, in order to make this world a wonderful place for everybody, we have to have government, corporate connections and partnerships and so on, and that's exactly what we're doing. And we're going to keep on multiplying these until we save the world.
By bombing Libya, putting Al-Qaeda in charge, and it's an admitted hellhole.
Yeah, exactly. See, exactly. And that's where we come in. We knock on the door and say, what did you say about saving the world with this scheme of yours? Can we get the details on how this is, you're the Messiah and you're actually saving the world? Could we talk? No, it should be obvious to anybody. You know, that's their attitude. So they're going down with their ship. I mean, they are going down with their ship. The European Union is falling apart at the seams, all over the place in so many different respects. It's just insupportable. And if they manage to keep it propped up, I mean, they're going to have to do it by inventing yet trillions more dollars that don't exist and bankrupting themselves in other ways. The whole thing is going down. It's going down. They have no answers. The money guys have no answers except to continue doing what they're doing, which, as I say, is to just keep inventing more money out of thin air. Their schemes have reached the end of the line. And so we're picking over the corpse, really. That's what we're doing.
We're in the final countdown. Let me ask you this question, then, because, again, I have guests on who I, you know, guests that I have on who I seek out who have been accurate now that I've had 16, 17 years to gauge and watch people. And you've been very steady, very accurate in what you've broken down. So here you are back again. I look forward to having you on the radio show, John. I said it's been a couple years since you've been on it, and you said, yeah, but it seems like 3 months.
I know.
Things move so quickly now. What do you see in your crystal ball as you know, going down this current road? I mean, I know we are destiny, so what we do affects things in the future. But in general terms, what are your new predictions for what's going to happen in the next year, 2 years, 3 years? What's front and center on your radar screen?
An intensification by the globalists to try to weld together this collectivist structure that includes the whole planet. And on the other side, the breakdown of that decentralizing power. I remember the last time we talked on the radio, we talked about this, the decentralization of power. States are going to be screaming to get back more power from the federal government. Countries are going to be wanting to split off from horrendous governments and go back to their decentralized selves. You're going to see new models of ways of doing business that don't involve being mega corporations and so on and so forth. You're going to see some corporations begin to split off into smaller units that have more autonomous control, because the whole deal of gigantism, which is loaded at the top with all kinds of supernumeraries who really just, you know, sit in their ivory towers and spin these incredible, unworkable scenarios, is collapsing all around us. And you're going to see more and more evidence of decentralization all over the place in many areas of human life, not just the ones that I've mentioned. So you're going to see these two trends. You're going to see, which means, of course, that we're going to have some kind of an incident, some kind of event, some kind of manufactured crisis, which is always an attempt to pull the collectivism back together, to exert more power, terrify more people, and so on. But it's not going to work. It is not going to work. There's going to be more and more decentralization coming up right on the horizon.
Well said. Wow, I wish I could say it that good. And the empire is going to strike back. And we see them pre-hyping terror attacks. They're now branding away from Al-Qaeda, who they're using to attack Syria and Iran and Libya and other countries. And now Al-Qaeda's good, according to them. And then they're moving over here to domestic groups, libertarians, conservatives, those evil Ron Paul people, why they're about to attack. And so I really see false flag as their central crises. They could use a flu release. I mean, all of that. But they're still, like you said, using a 20, 30, 40-year-old game when they had media superiority. Everybody knows about inside job or false flag. I mean, within 3 days of the underwear bombing 2 Christmases ago, my listener, Kurt Haskell, was saying, I saw the government get him on the plane. He comes on my show, talks about it. The media says that's ridiculous, but a month and a half later before Congress, the Undersecretary of State says, yeah, we were ordered to give him a visa and by a U.S. intelligence agency and get him on the plane. They've got to know that when they do things in the future, there are people that now know about the conspiracy. On the inside, they're going to be blowing the whistle.
Yeah, and you've been leading the charge in that respect, because people are coming out of the woodwork to talk to you because they know all of a sudden I've got access to millions of people. You know, why should they be hammering on the door of the New York Times to get in? You know, like at the end of 3 Days of the Condor, when Robert Redford is saying, they're going to publish, I'm blowing the whistle. And Cliff Robertson says, are you sure? Are you sure they're going to publish it? And that's where the movie ends. Well, now those people who want to come out of the woodwork and blow the whistle, they're sure. They're sure they're going to get instant access to millions of people by coming on your show. They know that. So why should they go to the New York Times? Why should they spend 5 years, you know, trying to get the word out on something when it can be done in a matter of hours or minutes? So this is cutting down, the primacy of the insiders, who have less and less power over these whistleblowers, people who actually have the truth to tell. This is also happening more and more and more, and it's a fantastically great thing.
Well, expanding on that, they could go to you and do it and reach millions of people. I mean, your blog and site gets hundreds of thousands of views a week or more. You go on shows with 15, 16 million listeners. I hear you all the time. And there's not just Alex Jones or John Rappaport. Again, there's all these prominent people, and there's new journalists coming up. And I can't tell you how many. The guy over at USA Watchdog, just a few years ago, he left CNN, ABC News, Nightline, and started his own thing. He's being successful. He's covering real issues. That's what the system ought to really be scared of, is that a lot of their big investigative reporters are you know, kind of following what you did 16 years ago or whatever. They're exiting as well. And so there's almost a brain drain from the dinosaur media. As the ship goes down, a lot of people are saying, I'm not going down with this.
You're absolutely right. I've seen it happening, as you have over the last 15 years. Somebody pops up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, millions of hits on their site, and they're exposing all kinds of things. This, to me, is yet another example of decentralization. It's the decentralization of information from many, many good sources. And I think, politically speaking, inevitably, what this leads people back to is the Constitution. Because the Constitution was a primary statement of decentralization. That was what it was about. It was about saying, okay, now look, we're going to make a government here, but it's limited. You can't do this and you can't do that, because we know what happens if we gave you the power to do that. We've got the experience of Europe and the monarchies and the church and all of that behind us. We don't want that anymore. So as more and more people decentralize, I don't care what they say they are politically, my belief is they get closer and closer to going back to the basic fundamental constitutional principles of the republic, which is you're free as long as you don't interfere with anybody else's freedom. That's the way we're operating. And that's the revelation that more and more people are experiencing as this egg of informational brainwashing cracks in so many places and the truth comes out and people see so many, 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 many centers of corruption and conspiracy. They say, wait a minute, we can't sustain a society like this. We have to get back to something else. What is it we want to get back to? And they find their way back to this idea. I want to be free. I don't want to interfere with anybody else's freedom, and I don't want them to interfere with mine. I think we can run things on that basis.
Exactly. And that's why the system's so scared of Ron Paul and has clearly cheated him in the election. I want to get your take on that. But John, you talk about decentralization. Here's another example. They can't just kill a John Rappaport or an Alex Jones, because there's now hundreds of people as prominent as we are, thousands who are almost as prominent, hundreds of thousands becoming prominent. I mean, the decentralization is just beginning. That's got to scare the system. But that's why I bring up Andrew Breitbart. I have talked to Eric Mueller, syndicated radio host, 3-4 months ago. I even forgot to make this point till he was on my show today and said, Alex, don't you remember? He has a new show coming out on a big cable network. I'll leave it at that. He said, I want Andrew Breitbart, who's already signed on, to be a co-host, and I want you. And I said, well, there's no way that network's going to have me, so don't even entertain it. And he's still fighting for me to be on the show, even though I've told him it's not going to happen, even if he frankly offered it to me. But the point is, he said, yeah, Breitbart's got this incredible bombshell coming out that's going to destroy Obama. This is like 3 months ago, but he won't tell me. And I told him they're going to kill you. Now, I remember this phone call today while he's telling me about it on air. I didn't want about Breitbart because I knew they were friends. And I'm, you know, this is one more of those phone calls. And I, even though, you know, Eric Mankow Mueller is a real guy, I'm still hear lots of stuff about I'm going to have a TV show or whatever, you know, on the dying dinosaur media, though that dying dinosaur is still the healthiest and the biggest of them all. He didn't want me to say which one, as if it's not obvious where he's already had a show before. And he's telling me all this. And then you've got, now Breitbart, the site has released a thing that we've confirmed was already in a frontline thing years ago, some milquetoast deal with Obama in college talking about a professor who knew some radicals. What I'd heard from Mankow and others behind the scenes was this was Obama at communist meetings. This was Obama talking about overthrowing America. And I predicted he was going to release that footage March 1st. He dies in the early morning hours of March 1st after two glasses of wine at the local bar he went to almost every night when he was in town, right by his house. Two glasses with friends and people sitting at the table. He'd talk to anybody. He goes out. He drops dead. And I said, okay, they announced he was natural causes without a coroner report. That's always a big, big sign in 2 hours. Right. I know I'm ranting, but just the background for new viewers. Then he was going to release all this March 1st that day. He was going to go after Obama. It's just too obvious. And then I forget, whoa, he was going to have a TV show as well. I mean, I think this is a shot across the bow. My guts everything tells me that this is very suspicious. But the fact that he told ManCal, Eric Mueller, I've got stuff that will destroy Obama. And he's like, what is it? And he goes, it's so bad, he's going to be gone. He goes, well, who's going to be, Romney or Paul? That doesn't even matter. When I release this, he's gone. Now today they release this super boring video.
Yeah.
I smell a big, giant, stinking rat. I think they got pressured, and I think they've released crap.
I can't imagine that what Breitbart was talking about releasing was this stuff that I just saw a part of here before we went on the air. I can't, I mean, he's not that kind of a guy where he would say, look, I've got something that's an absolute blockbuster here, and then it turns out to be dishwater. That's not him. The thing that I think made them so afraid of him was that he was a jokester. You know, he would pull stunts, as we all know. He would send people in to videotape other people. He had a sense of the fluidity of media the way it is now and how quickly you could get information out there if you could get it on tape. And as his imagination began to work, and I remember the last time we talked on radio, we talked about this too. Here we are. Use your imagination. There are millions of ways of getting this information out and showing the truth, and at the same time illustrating what fools and buffoons in many ways we're dealing with here. And that's the touch that this guy had, because he had fun. He enjoyed it. He loved, you know, the competition and winning, and he was willing to go out on a limb and do it all and tape himself doing it and taping other people. And there's other people coming up the line like that. I've seen some of their stuff. They send me links to their videos. I don't even know who they are. But they're getting on that bandwagon of, boy, we got a camera and we can go places and we can find the truth. This is not going to stop.
Example. I gave cameras to a family that was down and out and a little bit of other help who were homeless 3 years ago on the streets. Now they've gotten jobs back on their feet, and they've shot videos at least 6 or 7 times that I've seen that become big regional or national stories. The one last weekend was at the Kite Festival. I couldn't go to it. Biggest in the country, Austin every year. They had the army out there searching people at Zilker Park, which, by the way, has no walls around it. It's a giant park in the middle of Austin with, you know, hundreds of entrances. I mean, well, it's not even entrances. You can park on any road and walk in. There is no entrance. You know, it's just a giant green area by the river. They had the army out there acclimating everybody. So I don't have to go 100 miles or 1,000 miles to see an urban warfare drill. They have the army out here groping people. But my point is, they shot video, and it's there. So how does, we've seen the system try to arrest people for videotaping police in public, but now that's being thrown out in court. I mean, the system really is losing whenever we stand up to them.
Yeah, absolutely losing. There's no way that they can stop it. I mean, it's a flood. Yeah, that's a great story. You give people cameras and you tell them to go out there and find out what's happening, see? And this is going to happen more and more. Another prediction. I mean, it's going to happen in places where we think the issue is one thing and it turns out to be something else. We're going to have people in inner cities with video cameras where we think, okay, well, this is the way inner cities operate, and here's the crime situation, here's what's really going on. Yeah, okay, but now if you were living there and you had video cameras and you could go around and actually catch some of this stuff on video, corrupt politicians, money that's coming down from the feds being stolen, diverted, programs that are stopped by people, people who are just stealing money outright, drug deals, whatever, the whole nine yards. A day-to-day documentary of real life in the inner city by 10 people that have video cameras. And this stuff goes up on YouTube. The whole nature of news of that kind is revolutionized overnight, baby. It's not the same anymore. People have a new idea in their heads. They're not looking through their mind control lenses at what the media is presenting them. This is going to happen everywhere, all over the place, in every walk of life. It's going to happen inside corporations. You're going to have people sneaking cameras into corporate boardrooms and meetings that are supposed to be secret. And you're not only going to find out what these people are talking about, you're going to see what robots and androids are alike up close and personal. It's going to just blow people away.
Well, John, this has been a powerful interview, and I feel like we're just getting started here, but I'm going to obviously have you on the radio if you'll do it next week, I think next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Let's shift gears into some of the other subjects. What else is on your radar screen? And then I want to ask you about the system thinks it's all powerful, so it comes out and says, let's kill three-year-old babies. Let's kill old people. Bill Gates says, yeah, it is death panels. Don't give an old woman cancer surgery. Hire 10 teachers as if you kill somebody and that makes the economy better instead of having higher quality service and then it creates more complex economies. I mean, they know that destroys economies to create a predatory, cannibalistic economy. I want to get into, them openly saying, let's kill babies now in prestigious journals. Their eugenics is coming out in the open. I want to cover that. But any other big issues on your radar screen?
Well, one ongoing issue that never goes away because I keep on pounding it and it keeps on getting out there on and on and on, and that is the July 26, 2000 study published in the Journal of American Medical Association, Dr. Barbara Starfield. Impeccable, mainstream credentials, let's call it, all the way up and down the line. Medical system in the United States kills 225,000 people per year. 106,000 as a result of FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs. That means by the drugs alone, you're talking about the medical system killing more than a million people a decade. FDA-approved drugs, while the FDA goes after vitamins that kill nobody. And this is the kind of story, you see, that you would, if you had any sense, I don't mean you personally, but the publisher of the Washington Post could sit there and say, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I can see the headline now. Medical system kills a million per decade with FDA-approved drugs, a million Americans per decade. Let's run the headline. Let's get these three or four reporters and pound on this sucker for a year. You're going to have all kinds of doctors and bureaucrats eventually coming out of the woodwork to confess that they've known about it for the last 10 years, that the government has done nothing about it, the FDA is aware of it, they've covered it up, the CDC, everybody's known about it. You see, the pharmaceutical companies, the whole deal.
And by the way, from what I've seen, these are very conservative numbers in this study. I've seen numbers as much as 150,000, not 7,000 or 20,000 from bad drug interactions, in the hundreds of thousands from infections. I mean, it's becoming epidemic. I can't tell you how many friends I've had who are young, middle-aged, old, whatever, who go in for a minor surgery and die of an infection.
Yeah.
I've had one surgery on a broken bone in my leg when I was 16. They almost killed me in the anesthesia. The IV came out that night when I woke up, blood all over me. I mean, I was lucky to get out of there.
Wow. Yeah, I've been hearing. I know the same stories you're talking about. Absolutely. And yes, there are other studies where the numbers are much higher than what I've mentioned. The reason that I harp on this particular study is it's done by one of their own, published in their most prestigious journal. And here they publish it and then they pay no attention to it and they do nothing about it.
Yeah, they're saying give up all our rights and let TSA stick their hands down our pants because a couple hundred get killed a year from terror, even if it was real. We know it's manufactured, most of it. And then meanwhile, just ignore the giant elephant in the room of all these big issues like out of control healthcare.
Yeah, I mean, we're killing, the medical system's killing 2.25 million people per decade if you take into account medical drugs plus what goes on in hospitals. 2.25 million people per decade. So how many plane crashes into the Twin Towers would it take to get to those figures? And this is going on all the time, day after day, night after night, on and on and on and on and on and on. And, I've got in my head conversations I've had with reporters, editors, all kinds of people that I've alerted to this and their responses to this and why they, you know, wriggle off the hook and refuse to even investigate it or look at it and so on. Well, okay, that's fine. That's what they want to do. This story is going to get out one way or another, and it's going to get to the point where it's just overwhelming. It's overwhelming, you see. And then what's going to happen is all these people that are thinking they're covering it up are going to suddenly be on the defensive. That's a whole different position. Well, we didn't know. Yes, and I didn't think, and I was told, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we got you nailed down right here. In fact, we're videoing you as you're tap dancing right in front of us. I'm going to put up on YouTube in the next 3 seconds. See, I mean, they're done. This story is going to get out. And when people wake up in America and say, gee, the medical system's killing 2.25 million people per decade. Wow. And they hear that over and over and over again. Don't you think that this is going to cause people to realize that they've been brainwashed on many different fronts, not just this front? Well, if that's true, what else is true that I don't know about?
Well, sodium fluoride, mercury in vaccines, it goes on and on. And that dovetails with the fact that the average doctor is brainwashed like the public. But we know that the Rockefeller Foundation and others that took over medicine in the last 100 years in this country and worldwide now with a standardized modern Western medicine, they got rid of the Hippocratic Oath, all of it. We know it's about population reduction. We know it's about treating symptoms that they basically engineer and foster. And that gets to our last point, how we started killing babies to save money, even if the baby's not sick or didn't even have a mental problem.
Yeah,
they're skipping. I mean, it's bad enough to kill a Down syndrome baby because we always said next it'll be other babies. Now they're just skipping all that and saying, yeah, kill old people and kill healthy kids up to age 3. Then it'll be age 10. I mean, it's so over the top. Your take on the eugenicist?
Completely over the top. Doesn't matter why. According to this paper published in the Journal of Medical Ethics, the one we're referring to here, the mother could say, well, you know, not really interested in this baby, so let's kill it. Okay, no problem. Or the government could step in and say, well, you know, we've got a certain index here, standards, blah, 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 and so you're going to die, kill this baby, not that baby, this one over here. You know, all of this, is, these authors are saying, is fine. You don't even need a reason for it. The baby can be completely healthy. It's, they call it afterbirth abortion, and they say that the reason that it's okay is because, of course, setting themselves up as the authority, the person, this is not a full person yet. This is not yet an actual person who is aware of goals in life and their interest in striving to attain those goals. Therefore, they're not really people. Therefore, they can be killed. That's their standard. That's what they do.
And this is in a prestigious paper, and it turns out they're just regurgitating what Peter Singer, the head of the Princeton Department, all of them. This is the idea that boards decide if you live, and that's the death panels that Bill Gates admits are real. But again, if we don't like his death panels, they don't exist, we're crazy. But the cover of Newsweek, The Case for Killing Granny, shows a plug pulled out of the wall.
Exactly. Exactly. They are bringing on this, trying to bring on this sense in society where people just say, well, okay, I guess it's all right, you see. It's a program, a propaganda program of planting stories in the public mind, one more ridiculous and insane and unbelievable than the next, to the point where somebody, Joe Q Public is supposed to say, wow, you know, I mean, I would believe anything now. And then this story comes out about killing babies, and he would just say, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all, and he would just go about his merry day.
Exactly. They call it moving the Overton window, as I know you know. They'll do something really wild and radical so that now things that are still really radical don't look as bad as the insane thing. I mean, next it'll be, you know, the bioethicists say murder your children with baseball bats is not wrong. And then you're like, well, it's not bad to kill babies then. I mean, if you don't beat them in the head with a baseball bat. And then they've got the public so disconnected. I'm now seeing reports of people, you know, who live on the edge of town but have a rural home, and they'll shoot a deer on their property and be gutting it in their front yard. And the police are called and they go to jail for animal cruelty, and there's no law against what they did, but the jury's so dumb, they go to jail.
That's right. Or somebody insults somebody else, and the person who's insulted suddenly, you know, plays victim. I've been severely emotionally damaged by this thing that was done or said to me, and I can't even wake up in the morning without feeling terrified and so on and so forth. And this whole thing now becomes a legal case all of a sudden. You know, people can't settle their differences by themselves. Families can't work this thing out. No, it's got to go to court. We got to have a trial or civil suit. We've got to take this in. And then, as you say, the jury sits there and they say, well, yeah, he did say something pretty bad. I guess he's guilty, and let's either put him in jail or make him pay a huge amount. And people get used to this insanity. That's their program. Stepping it, you know.
Turn us all against each other, but then right. Government is exempt from the nanny state. So it's this glue, this red tape that chokes us like a boa constrictor, but then the system's exempt. So it's divide and conquer. NoMoreFakeNews.com. We've had it up on screen through the entire interview. You're on next Tuesday for a full hour. John Rappaport, I look forward to our next discussion. I think this is the best interview we've ever had, and you're amazing. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Hey, it's great to be back with you, Alex. Terrific. I really enjoyed it. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You bet. Amazing. All right, folks, that's it with John Rappaport. Great job to the crew. Look, you just heard pure veritas from that guy at NoMoreFakeNews.com. And I feel good knowing there's people out there like him, because even if they do something to me like they did Breitbart, or to him, God forbid, there's still more of us out there. We're not going to back off. We're not going to shut up. And the system needs to understand, the crazier they act, the more corrupt things they do, it's a bigger hole they're digging for themselves. They're going to lose. They're going to fail. If you've been watching out there on the web and aren't a subscriber, want to support what we're doing, become a subscriber, 15-day free trial at PrisonPlanet.tv. You are funding the front lines of the revolution against tyranny. I'm Alex Jones signing off. God bless you all.